The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. This day, 2 years ago, is when the Titan submersible imploded on its descent to reach the wreckage of the Titanic, killing all five people on board. And Enda Brady, who's a presenter with TRT World, was on air in the TV studio as it happened, and he's with me now. Enda, you're welcome to the show. Can you talk me through your own memory of that day, how it unfolded? I think we've lost
it. Good evening, Kieran. Oh, thanks for having me. I just remember being shocked. Can you hear me, Kieran?
I can hear you.
I just remember being in the studio and then producers telling me in my ear that, you know, this has happened, and then you're getting your head across the story, and it's like such an extraordinary thing they were attempting to do. And then just trying to make sense of it. And of course, initially, everyone was hoping for a really positive outcome, that somehow they could be rescued or that there was enough oxygen in the submersible. But what we didn't know at the time, of course, was that 90 minutes into that journey, the submersible had imploded. So it was a truly shocking story. But you'll remember it dominated the news coverage for day after day after day. Some channels even going so far as, I thought this was quite tacky, putting, you know, a countdown clock about how much oxygen was in the submersible and how long they had left on one corner of the screen. But it was a truly shocking story, and it dominated the news agenda for days on end.
Yeah, because we now know what happened and how instantaneous death was, people might have forgotten that fact that there was that sense that they might be rescued, and there was talk of, you know, different noises being heard in different parts of the ocean, and there was a tapping heard at one stage, it was reported, and maybe this was people on the submersible somewhere in and around the Titanic.
Yes, so initially we were told that there was 96 hours of oxygen on the submersible, and that, you know, that it was entirely plausible that there could have been a malfunction and the submersible could have just sank to the bottom of the ocean. Huge rescue effort. And then there were various different reports started emerging, quite erroneously, as it turned out, that tapping had been heard, consistent tapping being picked up by various different scientific vessels miles and miles away. So it was a tragedy. I mean, all the false hope and the initial optimism. And then, of course, when we found out that the sound of an implosion had been heard, and then it went from rescue to recovery. But a truly shocking story. And as I say, you know, this was kind of, you're kind of like perfect story. And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way to the families of those who lost loved ones. But in terms of rolling news coverage, it was big, it was dramatic. It had the Titanic at the heart of it. And there was the real optimism that some superhuman level effort could be deployed to rescue the five people on board. It was absolutely gripping.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important point to make is, yes, on the basic level, all victims are equal. There's no hierarchy, but it's absolutely true as well that certain stories capture the world's attention, and a story involving the Titanic or where there's a possible rescue as well was bound to capture the world's attention, and it absolutely did for days on end. And it would have captured the attention of Dick Barton, who's with us as well and who has been a vice president of operations with RMS Titanic. Dick, you're welcome to the show as well. Remind us what we learned in the aftermath of the accident about the vessel, about the Titan.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show. And the tragedy of the event was that, sadly, the whole incident was probably avoidable. Sadly, Oceangate and Stockton Rush operated completely without any kind of due respect for themselves or any others, and out with the entire industry's process of certification and controls. A complete maverick, sadly.
Would you have gone down underwater in that submersible?
I've been asked the question a million times, and categorically, absolutely not. I mean, I was asked to join Oceangate many years ago to work with them, but what remains a complete anathema to me to this day is my dear friend PH Nargileh, who was on board, did so, and PH had 38 dives on the wreck, extremely extraordinary experienced submariner, and yet he got inside with total disregard for his safety and others.
What's the challenge when it comes to getting down to the Titanic? Is it simply the depth or the currents you've got to navigate as well? What is it?
Yeah, a conventional dive takes about 18 hours from top to bottom, back up again. It's a long day in the office, and the technology to do so is extremely finite. There's only five submersibles in the entire world that can actually reach those depths safely. And the biggest challenge, of course, is the depth, but also the ability to be able to pilot a submersible to those depths and navigate around the wreck, which is treacherous with tremendously dangerous eddies and currents, not to mention the debris that's lying around. So it's something not for the faint-hearted, and also you need to know what you're doing.
And are there still journeys happening as we speak up and down to the Titanic?
As we speak now, there are no submersibles in class or in date which can actually get to those depths right now. But there's a US Florida company who are working very hard, and they're doing a great job working within the parameters of compliance. But right now, with the exception of probably Woods Hole Institute, there's nobody right now who has that capability, certainly not for tourist dives.
And is there regulation when it comes to this, or because of the location of the Titanic, is it something of a Wild West or a free-for-all?
So the RMS Titanic Incorporated were awarded right of salvor many years ago, back in 1992, when we arrested, it's a salvage term, we arrested the wreck in the Court of Virginia, and that then became the obligation of the RMS Titanic Incorporated, a U.S. public company, to be the guardians of the wreck. And effectively, that mandate is very, very important to look after the wreck, her heritage, and also protect her from being looted. But quite clearly, as we say, it's not easy to get down there anyway, and we can track very easily through satellite communication any activity around the site.
But you can do that in and around the site. But in terms of that journey, that 18-hour round trip up and down, I mean, is there any authority that oversees, you know, the safety of the vessels that go up and down?
Yeah, I'm completely compliant with DNV and other TUV, other organizations which are authorities to actually issue a license of certification and compliance for a vessel to get to those depths. And that's exactly what OceanGate did not do, because they self-insured and they took the risk, underwrote the risk themselves, and said they didn't believe they were obliged to do classification, which was probably the first failure.
Listen, Dick, thanks a million for speaking to us. Dick Barton, who's been Vice President of of Operations with RMS Titanic, responsible, as he said, since the early 90s for the wreck and the site. And Enda Brady, presenter with TRT World.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.